Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. And this is not your typical message. This is more like a family address, kind of a challenge that I have for you. And then I'd like to lead into some announcements of what we'd like to do for this summer. Fits in beautifully with Michael's theme of lighting our world. John 15, I do want to read up, verses 1 through 17 for you. We're going to be considering 12 through 17 in a few minutes more detail, but follow along as I read John 15. And Jesus is talking here. He's giving one of these I ams, and is immediately when he's saying I am, he's claiming to be God, because the great I am from the Old Testament. But here we read, he says this. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Class, I have a question for you. What word do you hear over and over again? What word occurs many, many times throughout this passage? Abide. Abide. Last year we talked from this passage and we talked about how abide has the idea of dependence, connectiveness, and continuance. In this particular context, in fact, in this whole chapter, we're talking about various relationships. So let me kind of begin there. In verses 1 through 11, we're talking about the relationship between the vine and the branch, or branches. The idea here is the vine is Christ, and the branches are followers of Christ, or believers. And so verses 1 through 11 specifically specify that connectedness that the vine and the branches have to one another. What happens when the branch is not connected to the vine? It dies. It dies. There's no life. There's no nutrients going into the branches. So the vine is very, very vital for the branches to be connected to it. And how are we connected to the vine? Through faith. Through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so it's talking about that relationship with Jesus Christ that we as believers have. We must believe and we must stay connected to the vine through prayer, through study of God's word, through what we're doing this morning, gathered as the body of Christ, so that we understand more from his word, we understand more who God is. And so that connectedness, that dependence must be there. We are dependent on Jesus Christ for our life, for our spiritual life, but also for our very lives. Very important. So that's important. Notice verses 12 through 17. Now we're talking about the relationship between the branches. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." One of the things I failed to mention in the first part, first 11 verses, when you have a vine and you have branches, you also expect to get what? Fruit. You expect to get fruit. If there's no fruit, what does that mean? It's dead. When you go out back at our back tree, there's a whole section there that is dead. There's not a single leaf on that particular branch. It's frustrating. I don't like dead branches on my tree. And so we expect fruit. And one of the fruit that is mentioned in this passage that Christ expects is for us to love one another. Verses 12 through 17, notice how there are bookends and a bookend references to love. Verse 12 and verse 17. It begins with love one another, and it ends in this section of the relationship of the branches with one another, love one another. Agape one another. Show self-sacrifice for one another. Notice it doesn't say like one another. That'd be easy. We'd be no different than anybody in our neighborhood if it just said like one another. But it says love one another. Choose to seek the best of the other person and not just for your own well-being. Love one another. What I find interesting in these verses, speaking of the relationship between believers, I find it's interesting that it's commanded, we're commanded to love one another. Why is that? Why is it that I'm commanded to love you? Pastor Mark, you love. I command you to love other believers. Sometimes it's not easy to do that. Sometimes we get frustrated with one another. Sometimes we just want to care about myself and what I want to do and my own things. But the Bible says, I command you to love one another. That is the way the fruit, when you have evidence of being in the vine, connected with Jesus Christ, there is love for one another. And then he gives that supreme example in verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That verse is in particular a great verse for this weekend. Because again, we think of all those fallen soldiers from all different parts of the military who have given their lives for us to experience the freedoms that we enjoy. And I think about Jesus and his love for his enemies, his love for us. Many of us, we started off with our fists pointed to heaven saying, I don't want anything to do with you, God. But he loved us so much, he gave himself willingly, sacrificially for us. He didn't just give his love for people who like him and do things for him. He loved everyone. And here it says, greater love has no one than this, than lay down your life for his friend. And the implication is that we, in our relationships with one another, we need to be willing to do that. You say, well, Pastor Mark, you know, sure, I'd give my life for my wife and for my kids. All right, but would you be willing to die to yourself daily and give of yourself daily to care for your wife and your kids? Are you willing to do the hard things and the routine things to really show dying to yourself and giving of yourself for them? Are you willing to do that for your brothers and sisters in Christ when they disagree with you, when they don't see eye to eye, when you may not like what they do? The key is, it says, anyone in their relationship with branches, fellow believers, we need to love one another. And then he goes on in verses 18 through 27, and this talks about the relationship between the vine and the branches and the world. I love the connection, you might say, between first it begins being connected with Jesus Christ, but then it works out in our relationships with other believers, but it doesn't stop there. And as Michael challenged all of us, it affects the way that I reach out into my world. And Jesus said, you can expect hatred from the world. If you line yourself up with me, you can expect that the world will not understand you. They will persecute you, and they will even hate you. And then he goes on, but it says and ends in verse 27, but you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And so he's challenging those early disciples. No matter what the world's response, no matter how they treat you, you bear witness. But it begins with being connected to the vine, loving one another, gaining strength and encouragement from each other, and then going out into a world that is not loving of our Savior, in fact, is antagonism to our Savior, and we need to care about them and bear witness and let our light shine. I want to just share a few words about what we are seeking to do as we try to reach out into our community. I am amazed, as Michael has already mentioned, in the suburbs, you would think Lake in the Hills, if you look at the whole state of Illinois, Lake in the Hills is one of the safest places to live. But I'll tell you, even though it may be one of the safest places to live, there are still so many problems among the individuals. There are problems, whether it be in the businesses or in the homes or in the schools, there are difficulties, there are problems, there are needs. And as I ride along with the police, I see it all over the place. I see people with great needs. And what I'm finding out because of some more connection, we've now had a relationship in more detail, at least trying once a week to make a connection with the police force. I'm seeing more and more that the police are coming to me and say, Pastor Mark, can some of your church folk help us with this need? We've already had the privilege of helping a brother and sister who were in dire circumstances with a gift certificate to keep them going. And I thank you. And our deacons made a decision to do that. On another case, there was a situation where the police came to me and said, hey, can you help with this particular need? And we're working towards meeting that need. But our community has needs. And we have the privilege of being involved in meeting needs. And so I want to just kind of share my heart with this as it relates to our children's ministry and reaching out to the young families in our community. And I may have to read some more of this, but you just bear with me, okay? We are in a period of transition in our church as it relates to young families with small children. From the time we started the work 18 years ago, our church has gone through increases and decreases in the number of families with young children. Over the last few years, we have had a number of our children grow up. Can you believe that? Children grow up. I mean, you look in our sound booth, and you look at Michael, and you look at Jasmine, and Jasenia, and David, and Zach, and all these guys. They were little kids running around here. They were kids that kept making irritating noises in the nursery. And yet now they've grown up. These kids are no longer kids anymore. They're adults. In the last year, we've had several families move away with young children. The Rosarios to Georgia, the Robinsons to Texas, the Colbys to New York. Can you believe they would do that? You know? In addition, we've lost some young families who have children because there's not a lot of kids who come that are their age. This has impacted our children's ministries. We have experienced this time of transition in the last few years in our Vacation Bible School and in our Awana programs as well. And this has caused us to spend a lot of time praying and brainstorming and trying to figure out what can we do next to meet young families' needs. This is a challenge for a lot of churches our size. We can't run programs with 500 kids in it. We don't have the facilities. We don't have the personnel. But still, we have the heart. I wish I could say this morning, I have it all figured out. And we could just use a program, a surefire program, that'll have everybody running in the doors of our church. But I don't. There are several things, however, that we can do. We can keep doing what we're doing and just die. Or we can complain about it and reminisce about the old days. Or we can take some steps in hopes of getting new young families. We have decided to take some steps to contact new families in our community. We're trying to do a few things between now and August to invite new families to our church. A trial run. This is like, let's try it. Let's go for it. Let's see how it works. We're not sure, but we'll try it. If it doesn't work, we'll go back to the drawing board and start all over again. What kind of started us thinking about what we're doing is our family's headed out to New York with Michael's wedding at the end of July. It's the time we normally hold our vacation Bible school. With input from others, we have decided that we would put our normal vacation Bible school on hold for this year and try other things to minister to our community. That doesn't mean that we can't do it because we're gone. It just means I would like to challenge and champion those kind of things, but I can't be here to do it. So here's some things we would like to attempt to do. Number one, starting in June 8th, we would like to run a summer Bible study series for 7 weeks. And I would like, we have a little video that will introduce that study that we would like to have. Go ahead with that, if you would.
We are surrounded in the world by rampant immorality. 130,000 babies were aborted today. Sex trafficking, a $58 billion industry worldwide. Some cultures abusing distinctions between male and female, other cultures ignoring distinctions between male and female. Over 1 billion people live and die in desperate poverty. Though I would like to insulate myself from these statistics, they represent realities.
James says, if there's no mercy in your life toward the orphan and the widow, if you're living according to the ways of this world, and if you don't have a tight rein on your tongue, your religion is a sham. It's worthless.
We must speak clearly and biblically and boldly on these things. Global, God-exalting, passionate idealism is exactly what is needed in the Church of Christ today. You can't know this King and be silent about this King. We're compelled to live out our faith in Him, to apply our convictions from Him in every facet of our life. It may cost us at work. It may cost us in our community. It may cost us according to the government. But we obey Christ regardless of what it costs because we fear God more than we fear men. Let's live differently in the world around us. Let's turn things upside down because we want His gospel to spread to the nation. We want His glory more than we want life itself.
One of the things we'd like to do is offer this study beginning in a week and a half in two locations, in a home and also here at church. And what we'd like to do to help with our kids is that we're going to run a kids program in the gymnasium while we have the adult study going on, while we're learning some great truths about our culture and how better to deal with our culture. Patty Douglas is going to head up with some volunteers that she's going to be asking some of you to help run a vacation Bible school-like program in the gymnasium with crafts, with games, with activities, with snacks, with Bible studies, and that will take place for a period of about 7 weeks. And so that will begin in a week and a half. In your bulletins, you have that little flyer. And this is an opportunity for us to invite our friends, our adults to come, and our kids to be taken care of and a program for them. So that's one of the things we have planned over the next, a week from this Wednesday and Thursday. We would like to see ultimately our home Bible study filled up where Bill Mace is teaching it, and our Bible study here where Cliff and I are going to be headed that up, and have a Bible study in both locations, Wednesday and Thursday nights. But we need you to sign up. And so I would encourage you, if you're available Wednesday or Thursday night, sign up in the back. If we realize one night is not good and we need to combine and just have one, we'll do that here at the church, and so that we can have our kids' ministry going on throughout the summer. Second, we're holding an annual all-church picnic like we do every year, and it's at Dyke Park on June 11th. This presents a great opportunity for you to invite your friends, especially friends with children. And so if you have a neighbor, if you have a coworker, invite them. This is a fun time. I'm not out there preaching for 2 hours. It's just a fun time of cooking food, playing games, throwing water balloons at Tom, and then really enjoying the time together. So again, it's not too late to start inviting your friends. This is a way that all of us can be involved. Step 3, at the end of July, We have been invited, actually, to be involved in the Founders Day Parade, July 30th. We have been invited, and that's a great privilege because we did such a great job in our first float. And we have the opportunity of handing out water in our community or freezer pops and flyers about our church and some of the activities going on. And so that's a way that we can be involved, and you can volunteer to help for that. Because 2 weeks later then, on August 13th, we plan to have a fun fair at our church. We're planning to have all sorts of fun games, maybe even some bouncy houses, maybe even a dunk the pastor tank, whatever. You really can get folks out for that. We'll boil corn on the cob, we'll cook hot dogs, and this is a great opportunity, again, to get, we're going to invite the police force to this with their families, and you can invite your neighbors to come. I've found that the best way to get people to come to the church is when a friend invites a friend. So if you have any friends at all, which I know you do, invite them to our corn boil. Actually, it's our fun fair with a corn boil as a part of it, to the Vacation Bible School learning time for the kids, an opportunity for you to learn. And then in the next week or two, we're going to provide a survey for you to fill out too as it relates to children's ministries in the fall. Whether we should run Awana or not, or some other program, we need your input because we cannot run any program, whether it's Awana or any other program, unless we have the backing of our church family. That love for one another, that concern that begins here and then reaches out into our community. We found that last time we had all kinds of leaders. Leaders that would show up and give themselves for a couple hours faithfully every week, but there were no kids. Well, there were kids, but there were only about 10 kids. And so we need to change up things, not because we don't want outreach, but because we want to do it better. And we want to see this place hopping with families with children. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be so full that we have to figure out where can we house all these kids? What can we do with them? And may God help us to have that kind of an attitude, a prayerful desire to see our church grow. So, recap, sign up for either Wednesday or Thursday night Bible study. Bring your kids to that to the kids program. There are ministry opportunities. Where is the board now as far as the ministry opportunities? It's outside this, or is it right outside the back? All right, in the back, there's a poster board that presents all kinds of ministry opportunities that you can do at Bickford Assisted Living, at the food pantry, and other places. Take a look at that. We are concerned about outreach here, lighting our world because people need Jesus Christ. We've got the picnic upcoming. We've got the parade upcoming. So if you want to ride on a float, if you want to walk by a float, if you want to throw a float, if you want to throw candy, if you want to throw freezer pops, hand out freezer pops, whatever you want to do, this is a great opportunity for our church to be exposed in the community. Fun fair, and then filling out the surveys that will be upcoming in the coming week. Again, it all begins because of the relationship we have in Christ. We love Christ. He has done so much for us that we want to love one another within the family. And maybe some of you are sitting there right now and you're thinking, Pastor Mark, I don't like these ideas. You know what? Love me anyway. All right? And bear with us as we try to do something. Because I know my churches that I grew up in upstate New York, as I go back and visit them, there are no kids or maybe one kid. And there's all a bunch of people that are 70, 80, 90 years old. Now, forgive me. Again, I love all of you. They're 70, 80, 90. But we need folks that are younger, too, coming into the church. And so I'm just asking you to pray with us. I'm asking you to get on board with us and to love the church, but love Christ more than anything else so that we want to make a difference in our community for the cause of Christ. Let's bow in prayer, and then we'll sing one last song in closing. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the challenge that Michael gave us today to light our world. And we know in Matthew it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so, Father, we want to make our light shine. We don't want to hide them under a bushel. We want to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And so may you develop within us a heart for the lost. not to just have comfortable homes and comfortable places to sit and relax, but to go out of our comfort zone, to reach out to people who are hurting and need hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. So Lord, guide us, help us. May we be as one unified mind and heart moving forward to impact our community with the gospel. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.